John. 1 John, we'll be looking at the first chapter. And so in the next several weeks, we'll be embarking on a journey, if you will, a study through the book of 1 John. And of course, every word in the Bible is God, right? He moved holy men of God to write as the Holy Spirit inspired them to write. So every word in the Bible is God's word. But of course, he used each of those individual authors in unique ways to communicate that message. He used each of their personalities, their writing styles, to communicate the very message that he wanted to communicate. And of all the gospel authors, I believe that my favorite is John. I really like the way John lays things out just clearly, simply, logically. Of course, I think I said something very similar to that when I preached through the book of Romans. I might have said Paul was my favorite. Normally, whatever book is my favorite is the one that I'm preaching. But I like how John says things very clearly. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I mean, very simple, right down the road. And that's exactly what the book of 1 John is like. And so let's look at that tonight. And as we start off this series tonight, as we start with chapter 1, I've entitled this sermon, the first in the series, Get Real. Now, you may have heard someone say that before. When someone says something ridiculous, you look at them and you say, come on, get real, all right? And that's what we need to do tonight as believers. And John, of course, such a gentleman, known in the Gospel of John, he doesn't even call himself. His name is not even named. He's simply referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He doesn't even use his own name. So a very humble person. And as he deals here in 1 John with believers, he calls them over and over again little children. So you can kind of see some of the tenderness that John used when he wrote to believers. So, of course, John would not have told anybody to get real, but tonight I'm not like John, so I can tell you to get real this evening. And as we look at John, 1 John chapter 1, I would submit to you that you must walk in the light as he is in the light. And so let's see what that's all about. And we'll start in verse 1 of chapter 1. It declares, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Now, if you look at the first four verses of 1 John chapter 1, you'll learn that John explains that the information that he's getting ready to give you in the rest of this letter It's not something that he heard from a friend of a friend of a friend. It's not something that he read in a magazine somewhere. He didn't get it out of the Jerusalem Times or some other thing. But you see that he indeed experienced Jesus Christ. He saw him. He looked upon him. And he said they even were able to handle him. He was a real physical person, and they were witness to what he did. Verse 2 tells us parenthetically, for the life was manifested. That word, John likes to use that word, manifested. It simply means to show. So he says the life was shown, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now, some that would look at the Bible today might look at that and say, yes, John could physically see Jesus. He physically could touch the wounds in his hands after he'd risen from the dead. He had an edge on us. We don't have that. But I would submit to you tonight that it was not John's physical nearness to Jesus Christ that made him what he was. Rather, it was his spiritual nearness to Jesus Christ that allowed him to experience what he writes about in 1 John. And therefore, what John experienced, you and I can experience as well. So tonight, you must walk in the light as he is in the light. Listen to what one author says. One of the most splendid descriptions of our Heavenly Father is in the words of John. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. He says, note James' descriptive name for God, the Father of light. And the Lord Jesus declares that those who seek to do the will of God are the children of light. He says that in John 12:36. The author goes on, our Savior never said a more splendid thing about himself than when he uttered that sublime declaration, I am the light of the world. That's in John 8:12. Everywhere in the Scriptures, light is used as an emblem of the righteous character of those who are the true children of God. So tonight, you must walk in the light as he is in the light. But you might say, well, Pastor Jimmy, how do we walk in the light as Christ is in the light, as God is in the light? Well, tonight, we need to get real about some things. First of all, the way that we do that is just by reality. Take a good look at how things really are. Don't have your head in the clouds. Don't be deceived as to how things, as to what your condition is or as to how things really are. Understand the reality about your condition. One author said, no man's really any good, now get this, no man is really any good till he knows how bad he is or how bad he might be, till he's realized exactly how much right he has to all this snobbery and sneering and talking about criminals as if they were apes in the forest 10,000 miles away, till he squeezed out of his soul the last drop of the oil of the Pharisees, till his only hope is somehow or other to have captured one criminal and kept him safe and sane under his own hat. You understand the wickedness that is inside of us. Many people deceive themselves. Many people act as though they are good people. But the truth of the matter is we are wicked people. You know, in the movies, they always get to that pivotal moment where the person has to make that decision, and they look at them teary-eyed as their eyes begin to well up, and they say, follow your heart, follow your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all. Who can know it? I like what another person said. He said, just about the worst advice you can ever give somebody is be yourself. We don't need to be ourselves if we're honest about who we are. Really, we'd rather everyone be like Christ, because when we're ourselves, we have all kinds of problems. If you don't believe that, and it always is humorous to me when I hear a politician get up and say things like, you know, I believe that all human beings are basically good. Is that right? Why do we have locks on our doors? Why do we have car alarms? Why is not simply having laws enough? Why do we have to have policemen to enforce those laws? Well, I'll tell you why that is. It's because reality is that we are not good people. The reality is that we indeed are sinners. And so tonight, get real about that. That's exactly what John encourages us to do in verse 8. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If you think you're a good person, and you think that you have some kind of righteousness inside of you, listen, my friend, tonight, you're just deceiving yourself. We are all sinners, and we are all in need of a Savior. So if you want to walk in the light as He is in the light, you need to get real about your condition and about your situation, that we indeed are sinners. Rabbi Zacharias said this. He said, as I stand before you, there are approximately 40 wars raging in this world. We have spilled more blood in the 20th century than in the previous 19 put together. The German philosopher Nietzsche reminded us that since God had died in the 19th century, the 20th century would become the bloodiest century in history. Listen, my friend, we are not good people. We are not progressing to some higher level. We are sinners, and man's wickedness is continuing to get darker and darker and more wicked. And if you want to walk in the light as He is in the light, you need to see things as they really are. You need to be honest that indeed you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You need to understand that there's no good thing within you. I know that goes against what we find in movies, follow your heart. But the truth is, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The other way that you can walk in the light as He is in the light, nextly, I want you to focus on your relationship with God. After you understand the genetic material that you're made of, that you indeed aren't basically good, but that you are a sinner, that you're wicked, and that you're bent to do the wrong things consistently, once the veil is pulled back and you begin to see reality and get real about that, the next thing you need to get real about is your relationship with God. Look at what John says in verse 9 of chapter 1. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have a joke to tell you, but Pastor Eric, I'm somewhat leery of this, knowing how a couple of Wednesdays back I told a joke and it bombed terribly. I'm hoping and faith that this one does better, or at least maybe someone will give me a courtesy laugh. How many of you will give me a courtesy laugh? Three hands went up. No, more than three hands. Three ministers were having a time of fellowship over lunch. All right, so we're talking about confessing our sins. If we confess them, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There were three ministers having fellowship over lunch. When one of them said, "Brothers, we've had some wonderful hours of fellowship together, but I feel that our fellowship would be so much more complete if we were able to confess our sins to one another." Well, the other two ministers agreed. The one said, "Well, I have to confess that when the collection plate goes around and then it's placed in my office drawer, when no one is around, I can't resist the temptation to slip out a $100 bill from the plate and slip it into my pocket." Well, the other one's looking at that one. Well, that's a pretty bad sin, wasn't it? The second one said uneasily, "Well, I must confess that I have a weakness for liquor, and in my bottom drawer, I keep a bottle of rum. And as soon as my secretary goes home, I unlock the drawer and have a swig." Pretty bad stuff. The third minister said, "My brothers, I suppose I shouldn't hold anything back either, for you see, my weakness is gossip, and boy, I can hardly wait to get out of here." All right. They didn't think it was funny, Pastor Eric. That was a courtesy laugh, all right? Now, Sister Paula is explaining it to Jerusha right now as I continue to talk. All right. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, certainly at times it will help you to share some struggles you have with another brother or sister in Christ. But be careful who you share that thing with. If their sin should be gossip, it may get around to everyone. But Jesus says, God says through John, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, we need to make sure that when we have problems in our life, when we have those times when we fall and stumble and mess up, we need to make sure that we go to the Lord in prayer and confess those sins. Now, it's just like, well, if you don't confess your sins, does that mean that you lose your salvation? No. The Bible uses the picture of someone being born into a family. You know, Kara is my daughter, and nothing will ever take that away. She will always be my daughter. But as she gets older, if she disobeys me and continues to go against the things that I say, then we'll have a problem in our fellowship with each other. Now, she'll still be my daughter, but we won't be able to enjoy the close relationship that we would have if we were to keep that communication open and have things right. And that is exactly what it's like when we confess our sins to God. You need to take each one. When you know you've messed up, you take it to the Lord and you name it specifically. Let Him know, this is what I did, God. I know it was wrong. I'm not making excuses for it. And I want You to forgive me and help me to live in a way that would honor and glorify You. I'm afraid that too often we try to just at the end of the day say, well, Lord, You know, I mess up a lot, so please forgive me. Listen to this illustration. I think it'll get across why it's so important to take every sin to God. There was a Chinese woman who took her bundle of dirty washing down to the riverside for the purpose of washing it. She was ashamed to open it for fear that someone would see how dirty her laundry was. And so she just put the whole laundry basket down into the water and shook it around for a little while and then went home with it. Now, do you suppose that that cleaned her laundry that day? No. What she needed to do was take each article out and wash that piece of clothing. Just dipping it down in the water and shaking it around and then running home would do nothing to clean her clothes. And you know, it's the same way with those sins that we have in our lives. Don't just say, oh Lord, You know I'm terrible, You know I mess up, oh God, please forgive me. No, tell Him each one and make sure you confess each sin and get things right with God. As you do that, your relationship will be better with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be able to walk in the light as He is in the light. I've heard it said, keep short accounts. You know, that's a good practice. You know, when you go somewhere, if you have an account with someone, it's better to go ahead and pay that thing off, isn't it? If you have a running account with someone, not to let it build up and build up and build up until it's some huge figure that you can't possibly pay. And we need to do the same thing when we take our sins to the Lord. We need to daily confess our sins so that relationship can be restored. And then lastly tonight, so get real about your condition, reality, how things really are. Get real about your relationship with God. Get real about reading the Word of God. Look at verse 10. Now, as I was looking through this, I noticed something that I hadn't really paid attention to before. Notice what John says. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and what? His Word is not in us. You know what will help you walk in the light along with knowing what your true condition is, confessing your sin to God? You know what else will help you walk in the light? allowing this book to get inside of you. Allow it to be part of your life. Not just something that you open at a church service and then close it and never look at it again until the next service. Read it every day. Sing songs about it. Allow the things that are written here in God's Word to fill your life. Don't let it just be a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night thing. We need the Word of God so that we know how we should live. We need the Word of God so we know what is light from darkness. And we talked about that a little this morning when we talked about, as we looked at this sermon series this morning on the Ten Commandments. But reading God's Word, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His Word is not in us. Listen to this illustration. Some years ago, musicians noted that the errand boys in certain parts of London all whistled out of tune. Every one of them, when they would ride by, they would whistle out of tune. It was talked about, and someone suggested that the reason those boys whistled out of tune was because the bells of Westminster were slightly out of tune. Something had gone wrong with the chimes, and they were letting out a sound that was discordant. Now, the boys did not know that there was anything wrong with the bells, and quite unconsciously, they had copied the same pitch of those erroneous chimes. You know, in the same way, you and I will tend to copy the lifestyle of what we read the most, what we look at the most, whom we associate with the most. We borrow ideas and thoughts from things we see on TV, from books we read. Those things become a part of our life almost without us even realizing it. But as we continue to go back to the Word of God, it keeps us on pitch. It allows us to know what is right and what is wrong, and allows us to see how to walk in the light. And listen to this quote by Bill Gordon. I thought this was a good statement. He says, if you are unaware of what God has written in the Bible, in other words, if you don't know the Word of God, you don't know what is said in here, you may have a surface knowledge of the Bible stories, but you don't really know what's in here. If you are unaware of what God has written in the Bible, you will likely listen to what Satan whispers in your ear. Now think about that. If you don't know what the truth is, then the deceiver will have no problem whispering these little things into your ears and making you think that is the way that you should walk. If you want to walk in the light as He is in the light, you need to get real about reading God's Word. So tonight, get real about your condition. Get real about your relationship. And get real about reading God's Word. One last illustration tonight, and I'll be done. On the English seacoast, there is a fountain which is within the tide mark. So this freshwater fountain, right by the ocean, twice a day, the ocean waters will come up so high that they cover that freshwater fountain. But then the tide will go down and that fountain will wash itself clear from defilement. So once the ocean water has moved back when it's low tide again, once again that freshwater fountain can purge the salt water that has gotten into it while the tide was up, and once again fresh water flows from the fountain. You know, that's a very good picture of our life as believers in a world that Satan has corrupted. You see, we have to live within this world, and because of reality, because we are sinners, because we don't want to do the right thing, inevitably we will get infected, we will get corrupted, if you will, by that ocean water. But my friend, you need something deep inside of you that's springing up, that purges that out. You know, if you'll understand the reality of the situation, if you'll get real about confessing your sins and your relationship with God, and if you'll get real about reading the Word of God, then you can purge that uncleanness from the world and allow the water of life to flow in you. Tonight, I hope that you'll make up your mind to walk in the light as He is in the light. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Maybe you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ to save you. If you were to die tonight, you don't know for sure if you would go to heaven. Tonight, you say, Pastor Jimmy, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Is there anybody in that condition tonight? I see that hand. Anyone else? I see